Thank you. Hi. We are on the record. It's 5 minutes past one. In attendance are Representative Lynn, Representative Herron, Representative Ramirez, Representative Gatto. We do have a quorum. First up, we have SB 244. Let me give the committee instructions on 244. One moment. 244, I see there's not a packet for it. 244, Senate Bill 244, passed out of House Judiciary on April 9th. The committee should have reverted back and passed out the original version of the SB 244. Do you have a title of that, Jane?
The title is...
It was... we passed out, Susan, we passed out, thank you. The name of 244 was an act providing that during the governor's term of office, the duty station of the governor is Juneau and prohibiting payment of certain tribal allowances for use of the governor's personal residence. We passed out the P as in Peter version, listing Juneau as the governor's duty station. Instead, we amended the House State Affairs version of the bill. The only difference that was not discussed in the previous meeting is a comma that was added on page 2, line 5, after duty station. This comma does not change the meaning of the bill. Can I have a motion to rescind the committee's previous report?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to rescind version SB 244, P version. Excuse me, C version.
Thank you. Without objection, we have the C version before us. Now can I have a motion to adopt Senate Bill 244, version 26-LS1322/P as in Peter?
Motion to adopt SB 244, version 26-LS1322/P.
Without objection, we have the P as in Peter version before us, and can I now have a motion to move the P version as of SB 244 from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I wish to move SB 244 P version from committee with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Without objection, Senate Bill 244 moves from committee. We now have before us, thank you. We need to re-sign that for you. We now have before us Senate Bill 263. Esther is here to present the bill. This is one of the trust bills, the companion bill. Senate Bill 63 is the companion bill to House Bill 146, which was heard on this committee on February 2nd, 2010. I assume we moved it from committee also. We moved it, and did it go to the floor?
No, it has not.
It did not go to the floor. We held it for the Senate bill. Esther is with us to present Senator McGuire's Senate Bill 63. Esther, if you'll introduce yourself, put your name on the record, and offer your short testimony.
You said 263, but...
I'm sorry, just Senate Bill 63. I apologize.
For the record, my name is Esther Cha, staff to Senator McGuire, and as everyone on this committee has heard before, the climate for trust and estate planning is highly competitive. This particular bill discusses an irrevocable trust and also how a person can designate themselves as a discretionary beneficiary, and if the trust has a spendthrift clause, they can protect the assets from the settlor's creditors. To give a little bit of background, I'll summarize the aspect of trust to which this bill refers. In trust, there are three parties. There is the settlor, who is also known as a trust maker, grantor or testator, and there is the trustee, which can be an individual or an institution, and then there are beneficiaries. The settlor designates whether or not a beneficiary is discretionary, which means that payment of distributions is determined based on the discretion of the trustee, instead of the settlor stating how much and how often payments will be distributed. And with discretionary beneficiaries, trustees may be given standards by which to exercise discretion. For example, there is the HEMS standard, which stands for Health, Education, Maintenance, and Support. And if the trust has a spendthrift provision, a creditor cannot force the trustee to pay money directly to the creditor. And instead, the creditor must wait until the trustee pays out the distribution to the beneficiary, at which time the creditor can seize the assets. Alaska established in 1997 that trusts would be protected from settlor's creditors if he designates himself as a discretionary beneficiary. And since Alaska has enacted this statute, numerous other states have enacted similar ones. And at present, 12 states allow this type of trust. The committee substitute...
Esther, may I interrupt you for a second? Are you saying that Alaska led the nation in developing this statute?
Yes, to my knowledge. And so the Senate bill, or the committee substitute for Senate Bill 63 just upgrades Alaska's trust statutes, and it clarifies the burden of proof by which a creditor must meet to establish that a transfer in trust was done with the intent to defraud a creditor. And it provides that a transfer restriction on a beneficiary's trust interest is enforceable even if the settlor has certain listed powers relating to the appointment, removal, and replacement of a trustee, trust protector, or an advisor. And it clarifies that a spendthrift provision will apply to a trust if distributions are made under the exercise of discretion by a trustee who is not the settlor. And it provides that the spendthrift provision in a trust will apply even though the trustee may distribute income or principal to the settlor to pay income taxes.
Thank you. We've been joined by Representative Gruenberg. Are there questions for the sponsor? We do have Doug Blottmacher with the Alaska Trust Company, who wishes to testify, and also Jan Temple with Alaska USA Trust Company. And available for questions is our friend Rich Hompish from Fairbanks. Are there questions for the bill sponsor?
I have a question.
Yes, Representative Gruenberg.
Sorry, I'm late. We're running around today. Ma'am, what is the difference, if any, between the Senate bill that's in front of us and the Judiciary CS to House Bill 146? Are they identical?
No, they are not. The changes were made in the Judiciary Committee in the Senate side, and it was determined after many committee hearings that there was language removed on Section 1 on page 2, line...
Let me be very specific.
Okay. Representative Gruenberg.
We removed Section 3 of the bill.
Yes.
Is that still out?
Yes, that is still out. And the only reason this new bill, through the chair, has a Section 3 is because we moved language from Section 1 to the new Section
3. I see. I'm sorry. I'm very time... If I may, Mr. Chair, for a minute. Have you already gone through the differences?
I have not.
Would you mind, through the chair, so we can see what your bill contains that we didn't have in the bill we had in this committee?
Okay.
Is that okay?
Oh,
through
sure.
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg.
We have an hour and 45 minutes.
There is nothing that was substantially changed between the two bills. On page 2 of the Senate Bill 63, on lines 5 through 7, we removed language because it was deemed that it conflicted with the concept of that section, which involves the settlor's right to revoke or terminate all or part of the trust. And this discretionary language has been placed in subsection N1, which has been established in Section 3, which starts on page 3, line 15.
I see. So that's simply a movement.
A movement.
No substantive changes.
No substantive changes.
Go ahead.
And then there was, in the version that you have, the House Bill 146, and there was a subsection E and F, which is on page 3, lines, I believe, 1 through 14.
Are you talking about the Senate bill now?
No, of the House bill.
Of the House bill.
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at E and F. I've got it.
Okay. So those two subsections were also moved to that new Section 3 in
the
Senate.
No
substantive changes.
Go ahead.
And so those were the only changes that were made.
So aside from a movement, there's no substantive change?
No.
I'm comfortable.
On that basis, the committee will proceed to a question by Representative Gatto.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Chair. I've forgotten it.
All right, thank you. We're going to go to a testimony first from Jan Temple with Alaska USA Trust Company. Jan, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome. If you could introduce yourself and your affiliation and offer your testimony, please.
My name is Jan Temple. I'm the Senior Trust Officer at Alaska USA Trust Company. And we are the trustee on a lot of trusts, both for Alaska residents and for non-residents who have set trusts up here because of Alaska's trust laws. Alaska, as Esther said, has been in the forefront of trust law, and It's important for my company, as well as the state, that our laws be kept updated. And it's in order to attract new business and to keep existing business here. So Alaska USA Trust Company does definitely support this law. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. Ms. Temple, I just wanted to compliment you on the good work of certain other family members around here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jan, Josh Temple, does he belong to you?
Yes, he's my son.
And he is just a wonderful...
Close your ears.
Yeah, earmuffs, Esther. He is such a pleasure to be around and such a consummate professional and he just exemplifies the best traits of the young people that we try to attract into public service and into the Alaska State Legislature. He's a pleasure to be around and an exemplary young man, and we are grateful to you. Representative Grunberg?
And also, Jan, I just want
to... I should probably acknowledge that I am also very familiar with Esther.
Yes, she's made that disclosure by the blush on her.
Okay.
Yes, she's a lovely asset also to the state legislature.
I agree. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, Jan, I hear from Joan about you all the time, so I'm glad you're doing okay.
Thank you.
Jan, just on this point, would you tell us how large the department is and what kind of an asset base you manage at the Alaska USA Trust Company, please?
That's a little bit of a hard question in the sense that we've got different lines of business, and I'm not the one that's really familiar with exactly how much, but we've got over $7 billion of assets under administration, and most of that is custody that's not related to these kinds of trusts.
Okay.
In terms of these kinds of trusts, I want to say, this is hard because I'm not the one that keeps track of it. We probably have about 200 of these kinds, maybe 250, and I'd say probably most of those are from out of state, and they come to Alaska because of our trust laws, and it's one of these, it's very important for us to keep our trust laws current and in the forefront, because our competition is with certain other states, and right now, if you talk about an Alaska trust with an attorney in the lower 48, they know immediately what you're talking about if they do estate planning. And, you know, it's very important. We have a lot of business that comes up from here, and, you know, we need to maintain that. I think it's important.
Very good. Representative Grunberg, Representative Gatto.
I'm sorry, I just sort of came in a little bit late. You're with Alaska Trust Company?
No, I'm with Alaska USA Trust Company.
And where is that located? Is that in Anchorage?
Yes, we're in Anchorage. We're a wholly owned subsidiary of Alaska USA Federal Credit Union, but we are a completely separate corporation.
And you're in the phone book under Alaska USA Trust Company?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Representative Gatto?
Yeah, Mrs. Temple, we see a lot of ads on television, LegalZoom and ads similar that for a smaller fee are able to set up corporations, et cetera. Even divorces. Do you sometimes or even frequently get people to come to your organization that says, I tried it and it was too complicated and that's why I'm seeing you?
I'm sorry, could you rephrase that? That's a little, I don't quite understand.
Are those companies online that LegalZoom, et cetera, do they?
And I'm not familiar with that, so I don't know what that is.
Well, there are companies that advertise, for trusts and wills, for establishing S corporations. We do it for 1/10 the price. And I've always been curious. You know, I've contacted them online and bought books on living wills and whatnot. Do you find that people who try that have run into problems?
Yes. Although I will say that those kinds of companies generally are talking about what they call revocable living trusts, which are completely different kind of trusts than what we're talking about with this Senate bill. And generally, the people that go to that kind of a company or whatever, they really don't even have an idea that this Alaska Trust exists. Generally, it's the people that have, you know, more assets, and they're looking to do estate planning. They want to set these trusts up for the benefit of their family members and for future generations and that type of thing. So that kind of person that has the type of assets where they need complex estate planning, they're not going to be the type of person that's going to go to LegalZoom. It's not probably something that, it's not applicable to the kind of trust we're talking about here. Does that help?
Yeah, thanks very much.
Representative Herron?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, while we're piling on compliments, I'd like to also add mine to, this is Jan, this is directed to Jan and to Esther both, is my interaction with Joss has been very positive, as most of my interaction with Josh has been Veterans Caucus.
Oh, thank you very much.
Representative Grimberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One question that I didn't ask when we had House Bill 146 before us, but that we have dealt with in another context, and I'm trying to, oh, it was in the Uniform Disclaimer of Property Acts. That's Chairman of my bill. Here we have an act that relates to transfer restrictions on trust instruments, the relationship between creditors and people involved with the trust. I was protective of one type of creditor, and those are the people who are owed child support money. And I see in this bill on page one, the creditor must establish their case by clear and convincing evidence to prove fraud. And that's the general standard for the proof of fraud, as I recall, in this state under normal fraudulent transfer law. Is it not, Ms. Temple, that Title IX requires that fraud be proven by clear and convincing evidence? Isn't that the normal standard, ma'am?
My understanding is that, yes, that that's typically the standard that's used, and I believe that that was added to this bill, the Senate Bill 63, simply to bring it into conformance with what is generally the case.
If I may continue, please.
Representative Grimberg, it's going to be the Chair's hope that this bill can pass from committee in this form, because with waning days, we don't really need to send something back to the Senate for concurrence.
So May I continue?
Of course.
Is there anything that this bill does to make it more difficult for a person who is owed child support, or the state if they are owed child support, to get at trust assets?
It's not going to protect the trust assets if the creditor already owes child support. It's not protective of that situation. I don't think that this bill is going to make any difference from what the existing law is. Just because the putting in the provision about the clear and convincing evidence, I think is simply clarifying what's already in Alaska law. I don't think it's adding anything new. So I don't think it really changes what's been happening, you know, the situation from the past. I don't know. Rich Hompish is also, I believe, on the line, and I think he actually had a little bit more involvement with this than I did. I think he probably agrees with me with that. So perhaps when he testifies, you could also ask him about that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jan, we appreciate you taking the time to put these things on the record for us. Can we next go to Mr. Blotmacher, please?
Yes, this is Douglas Blotmacher, and I'm president of Alaska Trust Company, and we support this legislation. Over the last 12, 13 years, we've had a number of pieces of trust legislation being passed, and Most practitioners feel that Alaska is the premier jurisdiction for people to come and do their estate planning and financial planning work. In addition to helping people from outside of Alaska, I've been advised by the attorneys that work in this area that probably over 10,000 Alaskans have taken advantage of pieces of this legislation. So it's been advantageous for Alaskans and advantageous for the state. The state has received many millions of dollars of additional life insurance premiums because of some of the changes we have made. There have been a number of additional jobs that have been created because of that, both in the trust field and in the legal area. And as far as we know, since we've been starting to make Alaska the best trust jurisdiction, there have only been positive effects, and we know of no negative effects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blotmacher. Any questions for Mr. Blotmacher? Seeing none, Representative Grunberg, do you have a question for Rich Hompish in regard to any of your concerns brought up with your dialogue with Jan Temple?
Yes.
Mr. Hompish, Rich, are you with us?
This is Rich Hompish. I'm an attorney in Fairbanks, Alaska. And through the chair, Representative Grunberg, could you repeat your question, please?
Yes, sir. Through the chair. Is there anything in this bill that makes it more difficult for a person who is owed child support to collect the unpaid child support? I'm not talking about future child support. I'm talking about child support that's already a debt.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, if the settlor of a trust, a self-settled trust, owes child support, the trust cannot be set up under Alaska law. This legislature has already passed a provision that requires each settlor to sign an affidavit saying that they're not in arrears in child support.
How about, through the chair, if the beneficiary owes child support? Not the settlor, but the beneficiary.
Oh, then the answer is no. I don't think this bill does not change the law with respect to the child support owed by a beneficiary of a trust.
My next question, Mr. Chair, is how about for the obligation of future child support? Does it affect either the settlers? Could the settler shield their money for future child support? Could the beneficiary shield their money for future child support?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, let me answer your question first by addressing a beneficiary. I know of no way that a beneficiary can shield any assets through a trust because the beneficiary does nothing other than accept distributions from the trust.
I should rephrase that question. Could a settlor basically take money and set up a trust to protect the beneficiary from paying future child support out of those trust assets?
Well, through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I could put money in trust for my daughter, and that would be protected from claims. Which could be protected from claims for payment of her child support, but I think the question is, you know, I don't have to give money to my daughter to begin with, and the lack of a gift, if she doesn't have the money, it couldn't be used to pay her child support either.
I understand.
But yes, I mean, if a beneficiary of a trust ends up with a child support obligation, I think that it would be very difficult for the child support to be satisfied from the trust assets, and that's already the law.
I understand that. Through the chair, this bill does nothing to further protect the daughter, though. That's already the law, is it not?
Yes, that's correct. That's my understanding.
Okay. And I take it that, well, okay, let me give you a hypo. Let's say I owe child support. Can I set up a, does this bill affect my ability to put all my money into a trust and then it would be a trust for the benefit of somebody else so that the obligee, person to whom I own the child support, couldn't get any of that money? I think that we could do that now, but my question is, does this bill enhance my ability to shield the money from future child support payment?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, Section 1 requires the creditor to establish by clear and convincing evidence that your transfer of assets to the trust was a fraudulent transfer.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Let me take a brief at ease for a second.
Heard that, Rich, but please answer the question. I can't ask anymore.
You can ask more.
You there?
Have to chair your own meeting.
Yes. To the chair, Representative Grunberg.
You were saying here that the establishment of clear and convincing evidence would have that effect. I'm willing to accept that because that's the law of the state now. Anything else except clear and convincing?
Oh, through the chair, Representative Grunberg, other than paragraph B1 and section 1, no.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Mr. Hompish, we thank you very much for your testimony, and we'll see you in Fairbanks soon, I hope, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Hompish, for Mr. Blotmacher, or Mr. Temple? I don't see any. Is there anybody in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing no one. Is there anyone online who wishes to testify? Seeing no one. He is not on the line. We have the bill back before us. Are there any amendments to the bill? Seeing none, the chair would accept a motion.
C version, sir?
It is the C version. C is in cat.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for Senate Bill 63, C version from committee with independent recommendations and any attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. And with that, at 1:30, we are adjourned, or do you want to have anything coming up? We're adjourned for the day.